3rd, the 337th day of 2017. There are just 28 days left in the old year. On this date in history, 1818, Illinois became the 21st state in the Union. And on this date in 1967, a surgical team in South Africa led by Dr. Christian Barnard performed the first human heart transplant. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomforts. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
Your insurance does not roll over at the end of the year. It's important that you use this benefit. Ask Dr. Farrell how you can best apply your insurance for your dental needs by calling 547-5757.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sovereign Minds. How was that? It's not Mark Kent, as you can obviously tell. Mark and his sister Linda Kent, both under the weather today, so at least for the time being, we're holding over our guest hosts from Jefferson State of Mind. We welcome back Chris Kallstrom and Nick Gardner, the infamous Nick from Reading, who usually calls in, but he's in studio today.
Yeah, we'll do a special open line Christmas show with St. Nick and Chris Kringle here. But and boy, St. Nick, that's stretching it, isn't it? So we're going to go ahead and stay over. We were kind of on a roll there. We had a lot of great calls. So if you guys keep calling, we'll keep talking. If the phone calls dry up, well, then Nick and I will both go home. And we probably already missed Sunday school, Nick, I suppose. But, you know, maybe we can make it to get the Cliff Notes or something.
Well, you know, I've got a lot to jabber about without calls. But we still got Lori on the phone, I believe.
She has indeed called back for our, as she dubbed it, our Bring It On Bridgeford segment. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning, everybody.
Welcome back, Lori.
Thank you so much. I would like to follow up on your initial comment on the Jefferson presenter speaker as being our police chief, Roger Moore. If we could encourage and invite more people to show up and do more networking, support. I know a lot of people prefer to not be on the internet, or as I lived in Whitmore, it was a pain in the butt to try to get reception, and some people just give up and don't. So with that comment, because you're both communicating on the airwaves, why don't we try to find out in our state of Jefferson how many people really wish they could be better connected but don't know how, aren't sure how to ask for help when they live in the rural part of Jefferson?
Yeah,
that's my first thing.
Okay, yeah. You know, obviously we send most people to SOJ51.org. That's our main website, and from there you can get all sorts of information. We have pamphlets and flyers. There's all sorts of phone numbers on there you can call. And, you know, the easiest way, if you're within this listening to, area here is come on down to the Patriots meeting that Laura just mentioned, 3276 Pacelli Lane, 6 o'clock. We have two Jefferson groups meeting there at 5:30 before the main meeting at 6. You know, get your questions answered, see what you can do, buy a bumper sticker, you know, get a pamphlet, get educated so you can explain to your neighbor. Maybe you have a neighbor or a friend or a relative that, you know, doesn't think this is going to work and you don't know what to tell them. Well, come on down and I'll explain everything to you and answer all your questions. And, you know, that's the easiest way. Get educated yourself and then you can educate others.
Educated, and then also we're dealing with the reality of geography because we never know when things are going to be satellite tampered or things are going to go down, crash. We've already heard of so many things about the grid going down. My whole thing is how to network and connect with people who are believing that they can't figure out how to use a simple computer. What I want to do is cross that bridge and have the connection start to take hold and to start to engage with people who, okay, so they don't want to buy a computer? No worries. Have them come over once a week and give them a tutorial review of where you live in, say, I don't know, the mid-ground of Palo Cedro. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm like, we're missing too many valuable people that are out too far away and just don't want to invest in this way. So I'm trying to include everyone in Jefferson, and how that we can be a kinder and more gentler way of being communicators. So that's based on your radio show. I just want to put that out there that I will say myself, I didn't want to be on Facebook for a lot of reasons. I don't do Twitter for a lot of reasons. So if we can start to just understand and respect everybody's comfort zone or limits, we're going to go farther.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and it's funny. I mean, and you say this, Lori, and we do see a lot of the same people in our meetings, which is great. I love seeing new people. I love bringing in new people. You know, we say we are nonpartisan. We are nonpartisan. I would love to see a lot more people with that have different views. You know, every now and then we'll get some new people that'll be like, well, you probably don't agree with me on this, that, or whatever. And usually they're surprised to find out that we believe in liberty and freedom, period. And that is what our main goal is liberty and freedom. So, you know, some of the things you might think we are against, you might be really surprised that if it has to do with freedom and liberty, you know, that we're probably with you.
All right, you are doing an excellent job of being Mark Stein, the substitute.
I don't have the English accent.
I also want to commend Nick. He has been one of my most prominent persons to share and email me, and I see him quite often at the public safety meetings at City Council. So I just want to, you know, tip my hat off to Nick and Signe. And if you can, I'm going to dive into what I wanted to prepare for, and then you guys can go to back to all the callers backing up.
Okay, go at it.
Here we go. We've already had our community address the opioid crisis, addictions, the prescription abuse, big pharma, all the rest. Well, here we go. In Hawaii, they are going to do a gun grab that if you are a marijuana user for medical whatever, you will have to surrender your gun. I have just done some research on that. Sent an email out on that, and goodbye liberty and rights, because this is step one, just like in Nazi Germany, when they have a gun grab, what will protect and offer anything other than put on your Nikes and run away? Right. That's not going to help.
Yeah, and we haven't had the gun grab yet, but if you are a medical marijuana have a prescription for it and you state that legally on your federal forms, it is still against the law at the federal level. So if you put that on your forms that you use that particular controlled substance, and I say controlled substance because you're filling out federal forms and they consider that a controlled substance, you will not get a gun. Just as here a few months ago, I believe they did away with this now, but if you were on any sort of a Social Security or a pension and you had somebody else controlling your money, they decided, well, if you're not able to handle your own finances, then you can't buy a gun then either. You're mentally unstable. So we haven't had the grabs yet, but we've had a whole bunch of restrictions of not letting people get them to begin with.
But at the same time, can you imagine Ching and Chong with guns?
Knock, knock, knock.
Dave's not here!
Oh, my God. you're dating all of us that listen to that Sister Mary Elephant video. Not a video.
It was a cassette
vinyl
tape.
Album. Oh my
it
God.
Was a cassette tape and vinyl. Yes, Lori.
Oh, my God. But you're right, Chris. Marijuana is a Schedule I drug by the federal government. So I can't tell you how many times I've been at city council reminding people, and I want to you bring up something that you just stirred a comment, that when I'm at city council and I hear somebody at the podium enticing, inviting, and telling the city council that they just need to imbibe and try pot, I swear to God, this is so annoying when you are just being at this level. And this man, I think his name's Rob, it's just completely out of line with being respectful and being dignified about having a coherent conversation on the issue. So,
but you know what, Lori? He's welcome to state his opinion. I don't agree with him either, but you know, we live in a country where you can state your opinion, and that's something to be thankful for. At least we can still do that.
Nick, I agree, but when you do that every time you're at the podium, you're an annoyance.
Well, maybe they can make a rule that Rob has to wait till the end of the meeting.
Maybe he should go to the end of the line. That could be possible, but he is just a robot repeating the very same verbatim of that the city council needs to get over their paranoia. Well,
they're gonna,
I don't know.
They're going to move.
3 minutes of wasted time in the beginning. If I heard Brent Weaver and Carl Bott's show earlier in the week, that comments will now go in the beginning for a certain period of time, and then if there's any holdovers, they will go to the last of the evening's lineup.
Well, the thing is we're going to let you move back to the front, but if you don't behave yourselves, you're going to have to move back. You know, I miss hearing about Brent's kids.
Well, anyway, so here we are with the opioid crisis, prescription abuse, big pharma. The military, apparently now, because they're in such short supply of recruits, it's now okay if you had a past history in your questionnaire intake that you were a marijuana user. So, again, I don't know if they're looking at what kind of functionality does a person have. And obviously they still don't want you using while you're in live-action combat or active. But this is just, again, something Jefferson, we need to look at what's happening with the marijuana influence. We need to look at the coastal harm that's happening. If we are indeed going to have a sea rise, plus you have the Fukushima radiation, I think we need to look at the Jefferson potential of what's happening to coastal real estate. If we have to move it inland a little bit, let's start looking at that. I mean, if we've got, NPR radio, they're now addressing, and I'm taking some of these comments from, I listen to Dane Wigington's Global Alert News radio show each and every week, and it's on another station, but nonetheless, there's information that EPA is removing the climate change term. That the language, again, is very confusing to a lot of people. So if NPR is going to risk funding money, they need to censor and not say the word climate change. So here we go again, people. It's just I almost need to keep a log of what's the current protocol and what's okay and sanctioned. So we have Scott Pruitt. I can't remember which one's the EPA and which one's FDA, and Rick Perry. But they, again, they're just supporting this whole thing of we're not going to say the word, so it's kind of not happening. And, yeah, Trump's been hostile to the climate change IPCC whole thing and pulled out of that. But we just need to really start addressing, and here's my closing resource, is go check out Mother Jones if people are online. Go to the library. If you don't have a computer, go to the library if you can, and go get some help on this. 3 minutes on This Is Your Wilderness on Drugs. It's a video. And it talks about Trinity County, High and Palm, a population of what? 250, maybe 300 people? Unbelievable ecological damage to the water, the soil, the habitat, the wildlife. We're not going to be able to claim, look how great we are if we even get state of 51 or 52 or 53 or get in line with all the other states that want to break away and do what we're doing. It's like we really need to face the hard facts that our ecological system is being compromised because of the water it takes just to take care of one marijuana plant.
Well, when those woods are full of loggers and logging truck drivers and chip truck drivers and foresters and miners, then there's going to be a lot less room for pot growers. They're going to be noticed more. So maybe we'll open those woods back up for some logging, get some good, hardworking, honest people in there, and let's use our natural resources rather than destroy them. Thanks for the call, Lori. We've got Jerry on the line, too. So
Thank you, guys.
Hey, thank you.
Stay on the air with open lines.
Okay.
We'll
see you tomorrow night. Bye-bye. All right, Jerry, are you still there?
Jerry dropped, but he just called back.
All right.
We do need to take a break momentarily, but Jerry is back with us.
You're up next, Jerry.
Thank you.
The time has come for 51.
All right, Jerry, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. You're on.
Oh.
Go ahead, Jerry. I thought we were going to a break, but go ahead.
Oh, okay.
You're on.
Communication and connection. I listened to the previous lady that talked about how difficult it is to get people to the Internet, to check a website. The reason I called with a suggestion is I'm old school. I think the best way to reach us, particularly us old people, is through the mailbox, a direct mail piece right into our mailbox. I have 2,000 emails in my inbox. But when I go to my mailbox outside, I go through every piece of mail. And I would love to get something maybe twice a month concerning State of Jefferson.
Okay, you know what? That's a good idea, Jerry. And I think probably for the cost of it, it's a little cost prohibitive to send it to everybody.
Oh, I know that. That always rears its ugly head. But
yeah, but you know what?
There should be enough people and interested businesses.
Yeah,
and this 21 county area, particularly here in Reading, that would buy advertising, which would pay for the cost of printing and mailing
a little newsletter,
a postcard would be a connection.
No, that's a great idea. I liked it. I know when we're at the Jefferson booths, we often collect emails from people, so we can send them emails. But you're absolutely right. We could start collecting physical addresses too. P.O. boxes, physical addresses, and say, you know, and put together some sort of a little monthly or bi-monthly flyer or newsletter, and it's a great idea. So we will maybe discuss that tomorrow night at our meeting.
No, bi-monthly. Consistency is the key. It's either every other week or once a month, but not once every 2 months or a quarterly, which would be four times a year. Need a consistent, regular thing that goes into our mailbox, even if it's just a two-sided postcard.
Yeah, isn't
that encourages us to even get on the website? Because I think once people do get on the website and start to learn more about it, they'll feel connected more.
Yeah, I bi-monthly. By bi-monthly, I guess I meant semi-monthly. But,
you know, there used to be a paper. I went to the 7-Eleven, or rather the Standard Station here downtown Reading. And I picked it up. It was this official State of Jefferson newspaper, and that went away. And people called in, and I got the feeling that they wanted to have something like that. And, of course, it was costly.
Yeah.
And I understand why it was discontinued, but there's got to be some advertisers out there, interested people that would keep, or a printer that would print it cheaply or for low cost, and then your main cost would be the mailing. So,
yeah, we do.
And there's always sponsors, you know. Like you may get somebody to sponsor the whole thing for that particular month or week.
Yeah, we. It's definitely not a bad idea. I kind of like it. We do have, like I say, an email newsletter that goes out, but I don't know how hard that would be to go ahead and print that in a hard copy. And if we had a list of a few hundred addresses or several hundred or thousands of addresses. It might be worthwhile to send that out to them. We could probably print most of that newsletter on a postcard, so definitely something to look into. We might be starting to collect some physical addresses.
Yeah, okay, well, that's my 2 cents.
All right, Jerry, appreciate it. Thank you. It's a good call.
Hey, I've got 2 cents I want to throw in here right after the break. I've got something I've been wanting to read, and I want to get it out. So if you're calling, plan on staying till after you holding on till after you hear from me. Are we going to do a break, Bob?
We indeed we are. Thank you again, gentlemen, for guest hosting first Jefferson State of Mind and then into Sovereign Minds this morning, as Mark and Linda are under the weather. But you are listening to guest hosts Chris Kallstrom and Nick Gardner, the caller known as Nick from Reading. He's in studio with us today.
I am your homie, G.
And we'll be back with more if you want to call in, as someone is right now. The number is 530-605-4567.
I grew up dreaming of being a cowboy and loving the cowboy ways, pursuing the life of my high-riding egos. I burned up my childhood days. I learned all the rules of a modern-day drifter. Don't you hold on to nothing too long. Just take what you need from the ladies and leave them with the words of a sad country song. My heroes have always been cowboys. Still are, it seems, sadly in search of one step in back of themselves and their slow moving dreams. Cowboys are special with their own brand of misery from being alone. Die in the cold in the arms of a nightmare, knowing well that your best days are gone.
A brand new production of A Cascade Christmas is coming to Reading's historic Cascade Theater. It's Shasta County's theatrical holiday spectacular, returning to the stage for 2 weekends full of dancing, singing, snowflakes, and candy canes. It starts the day after Thanksgiving, an all-new show for the whole family, with evening and matinee performances, plus photos with Santa after each 2 p.m. show. Get your tickets now at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
As Californians, we are fortunate to live in such a rich agricultural state. California agriculture generates roughly $37.5 billion annually, more than any other state. Orchard Nutrition Center believes that buying local not only supports North State agriculture, but decreases the amount of time between harvest to your family's table, resulting in the freshest, most nutritious meat and produce available. Hat Creek Grown is one of the largest providers of grass-fed beef in California and is a featured vendor of Orchard Nutrition Center. Grass-fed beef has about one-half to one-third the amount of fat than grain-fed beef. It is lower in calories and can also lower LDL cholesterol levels. Hat Creek Grown is family-owned, with its roots dating back to 1903. Delicious, local, natural. Hat Creek Grown at Orchard Nutrition Center, 221 Locust Street in Reading. Now open 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. 7 days a week to better serve your family. Orchard Nutrition Center.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 a.m. with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
On behalf of the students, faculty, and staff of Simpson University, we want to wish all of our service men and women, whether deployed overseas or at home, a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We are truly blessed to live in a country where freedom was defended in the past, now, and in the future by extraordinary men and women who wear the uniform of the United States of America. Merry Christmas and God bless each and every one of you.
December brings us together with traditions. Come join me, Linda Bott, with my jazz ensemble featuring Bruce Kalin on bass and Bernie Baker on guitar, in the beautiful setting of View 202 this Sunday evening from 5:30 to 8.
Catch Linda Bott and her jazz ensemble this Sunday, December 3rd at View 202 on Hempstead Drive in Reading, overlooking the river.
Not all solar companies are the same. Neither are all solar installations. Hi, I'm Bruce Blake, president of Powerhouse Solar. Your solar design should be based upon what gives your family the best results, not what is easiest to install. Ground rack, roof mount, sun tracker, you name it, Powerhouse Solar does it all. But not all solar companies offer all these options. Powerhouse Solar is a SunPower Elite dealer, which means your family is getting the best, most efficient solar panel on the market, combined with a system design and installation that fits your exact energy needs. And let's face it, a cookie cutter system can not only cost you more in the long run, but be less efficient. Since 2003, Powerhouse Solar has been your solar energy expert. Let us design the perfect SunPower solar energy system for your family. Call Powerhouse Solar today and let us show you how to get the power of the sun working for you.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com.
Jeffersonians, we're here on the Jefferson State of Mind, which is now Sovereign Mind, so we're on the second hour. We have Wynn Carpenter on the phone. He was going to address the concerns from Jerry. So, Wynn, are you still there?
I am. Can you hear me now?
We can hear you now.
All right, cool. Hey, yeah, well, I'm glad Jerry called in and brought those issues up. However, when people bring up issues, they need to bring up solutions. And the solution is Jerry can help us do that. You know, he's got the experience of knowing that we need to have the postage and we need to have the postcards and we need to have the mailing done. We need to have these things created, all of which create money issues. We have to have money to do that. So if we need sponsors for that, we would love to have him bring a sponsor to us or many sponsors to us to create those kind of flyers and the people to generate those kinds of items that go out into the mail. The hardest part is truly getting the time to put all that together. Everybody is working so hard on everything that we're doing. When you're trying to put stuff like that together, it takes a lot of time. It takes a huge amount of commitment, and we just don't have the manpower to do it. I get that he wants to go to the mailbox and see something and check it out. We currently do have the Jefferson Messenger, which is put out every 2 weeks, and we have a team that puts that out, and it's on the Internet. It's emailed to you. You can go to soj51.org. and sign up for the messenger. Go onto the website, look at the website, navigate through there. It's not hard to do. It's easy. It's user-friendly, and all the information about Jefferson is there. So you can go in there, get signed up to get the messenger, and it'll come to you at midnight the day that it's put together. Every time the team that puts it together throws it out there, it comes out like around midnight or so. You'll get it for that next day. So it comes out twice a month or every other week or so. And it has all pertinent information that's going on Jefferson-wide. So it's a good source, it's a good piece of information, and it gives you more contact information as it's warranted for through the message of the messenger. So those are the kind of things that we're looking at. But truly, doing the mailers, especially with the postage going to be going up in the beginning of the year, that's going to be cost prohibitive again. So that's why we haven't done the mailers, because by the time we get them put together and put out there, who do you mail it to? Who do you not mail it to? You know, all those kind of things. We need to have a huge data bank to support that. You need to have somebody who's going to look and put stamps on. You have to put the labels on. You have to print all that stuff out. You have to have toner to do the printing. You have to have that cardstock to do all of that. And all that stuff costs a lot of money. And the printings that we currently do already just going to the town halls and all that kind of stuff, some of us are supporting that by donating that to those causes. So to do that, who else is going to donate? Who else is going to support this? So those are the kind of things that we have to look at, and those are the reality facts of what he's talking about. Those are real facts. We've been doing this for almost 4 years now, and we know that because we've tried all these things, and they're cost prohibitive. So if there's a way to do it, we're willing to listen, and we want to bring others in to help finance those kind of things and those kind of projects and people that are willing to do the work. We'd love to have the help. So if Jerry's got a solution for that, we're all ears.
Yeah, and that's what people, you know, sometimes don't understand. A lot of people think that there's some big organization, or we have, you know, there's some group that's full of, you know, leaders and elected politicians and the Koch brothers and whoever else. And it's like, you know, guys, we are all volunteers. I mean, we're
still waiting for that check from the Koch brothers to show up.
Exactly. We are all paying for our own gas to go to these town halls. We're paying for, you know, when we print something, we pay for the toner, we pay for the ink. I mean, this is as grassroots as it gets. So, you know, we want to hear ideas from other grass blades by all means, but honestly, it's grassroots, and you know, if we have to take on a new project, that means we're going to either take money away from the lawsuit or we're going to take more money out of our own pockets to do it. So we want to hear all the ideas. We'll address them any way we can, but quite frankly, just like Wynn said, it comes down to money, and you know, we have to look at those funds because they are our own personal funds. Do we want to spend this on postage? Or do we want to put it in Terry's minivan gas tank and drive down to Tuolumne County? Because those are the decisions that we have to make.
We also have our the conference call that we have the second and fourth Sunday of each month at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
People get on that. They can hear what's going on there. They can go to the chat room at the same time and ask questions. If they have Internet access, they can go to the chat room through the SOJ.org website, go to the meeting and the calendars, and get it clicked onto the meeting for that day. Go into Chatsy, and you can go right into the website chat room for that meeting, and you can see what people are saying. You can ask questions, and the moderators of that meeting can see those questions, and they can ask your questions as long as there's time allowed. So those are the kind of things that we have. We have all these tools available to us, and we're using those that aren't costing us a fortune. Plus which, some of these things that we have and that we're using are being sponsored by Patriots in Jefferson. They're paying for it. They're already paying for it for us to use them.
Yep.
So we have some great Patriots that are putting their money where their mouth is. They're making it happen, and they're doing it. So we're already using those tools available to us that are more affordable, and they get the word out to the masses. So a one-time mailing is going to cost a lot more than just doing a meeting that we would have twice a month. So you have to weigh your options out there, too. And we've been doing this for a while. We've tried all these things. So if people have newer, greater, better ideas and are more efficient and have the money to go with it to support it, we're all ears. We're not saying no to anything, but we just need to try things that we haven't already tried. And we welcome those ideas. And go to your local group. Find out where your Jefferson meetings are, what day of the week they are. Go check them out. Go to your local Jefferson meetings. Ours are Mondays, every single Monday. So come check them out. You don't have to stay for the whole thing. Come in there, check it out, have a little dialogue, and then if you're done, you can leave.
Yeah, Jerry.
You know? And you don't have to come every Monday. You can come whatever Monday works for you.
I know for Jerry, if he were to come to one of those meetings at 3276 Pacelli Lane every Monday night, when that messenger came out, I'm sure somebody would make him a copy of it and give him a hard copy and just hand it right to him. So there are
Absolutely.
Ways. You know, again, we'll take all ideas and listen to every idea, but quite frankly, most of them come right down to money. We do not have giant corporate sponsors. There is no huge money movement behind this. This is me and Nick and Wynn and Terry and Bob and Frank Rose and whoever all the other Patriots are out there that are taking money out of their own pocket and doing everything that they can.
SOJ51.net. Hey, Wynn, I've got something here. I've been wanting to read for quite a while. Mary, can you hold on a little more, or do you want to talk right now?
No, I'm good. I got my answer from Lynn. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Hey, listen, I've got this jury rule book, the jury handbook. I want to read it to you. I want you to have patience with my reading. I graduated from Enterprise High School in 1969, and as everybody knows, we're on holiday every day. In 1776, we came out of bondage with faith, understanding, and courage. Even against great odds and with much bloodshed, we battled our way to achieve liberty. Liberty
is that delicate area between the force of government and freedom of man, free will of man. Liberty brings freedom of choice, to trade, to go and live wherever one wishes. It leads to abundance. Abundance, if made an end in itself, will result in complacency, which leads to apathy. Apathy is the let George do it philosophy. That's what we're getting with Jefferson. Oh, you guys can do it. You take care of it. We're behind you. This always leads to dependency for a while. For a period of time, dependents are often not aware they are dependent. They delude themselves into thinking they are still free. We never had it so good. We can still vote, can't we? Eventually, abundance diminishes to dependency and becomes known in its true nature, bondage. That's right where we're back right now, is bondage in California.
Yep, very well said, Nick, and that is exactly right. That's we need to get our liberty and our freedoms back. We got it in 1776. We fought for it again in World War II, and it just seems like suddenly people get complacent and they get lazy and they elect men that they think are good to go ahead and do that stuff for them. And the next thing you know, you're back in bondage. So it has come time for us to stand up and take our liberty back again and get that freedom back for our children, you know, liberty for our posterity. That's what the whole Jefferson movement is about.
The base of the power was to remain with we the people. It was lost. Leaders acting in the name of government, politicians, bureaucrats, judges, lawyers. Hey, this is our country, not their country. We didn't elect them to tell us what to do. We need to call our representatives, city, county, state, tell them, hey, we elected you to represent us, not tell us what to do. You're not the king. You know, this is what it's become to in our country.
Yeah, it's pretty rare to even hear that when you have an elected official that says, hey, we're here to represent you. I know in the Anderson City Council, I'd heard that for the first time for a while when I went down to a meeting down there, and it was so refreshing to hear that point of view and that philosophy from, like, oh, wait a minute, this is the first time I've heard elected officials say that in years, that they're here to represent you. And it really took my breath away because I thought, wow, you guys haven't forgotten that, because you don't hear that in a City of Reading City Council meeting. You don't hear that Shasta County Board of Supervisors meeting. You sure as heck don't hear it on the state level or the federal level. But it can still be found. It's in small pockets out there, but we need to make those pockets bigger.
Yeah, I was reading this morning on the Internet, and I was really, really proud of our U.N. representative, Nikki Haley. We will decide how best to control our borders and who will be able to enter our country. You know, I think it's time to get out of the U.N. We need to start talking on a national level. This state of Jefferson is the first step to taking our country back. But, boy, we've got problems in our country. The U.N. telling us what to do. Did Obama turn over the Internet to the U.N.?
Well, I know that the certain party in this state tried to turn over our gun rights to the UN. They wanted to, they voted to sign on to the UN Small Arms Treaty, which would have taken away the gun rights to every American citizen out there. And at the time that they did it, fortunately, they were in the minority at the time, so that didn't pass. But at the time they did it, I thought, my golly, you guys have all taken an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States, and you just tried to give away my Second Amendment rights. To me, if it's not treason, it's sedition. I believe every one of them should have been taken out of office. I don't understand. Would they vote to take away your First Amendment rights? Would they vote to take away your, you know, right to a seizure? I mean, it was unbelievable to me at the time.
And look at the people they're shoving down our throats with relocating people that we don't necessarily want living in our country here. I'll go to refugee relocation by Ann Corcoran, Corcoran. You know, they're relocating Muslims, Syrians, people that really don't want to be here. They move here and they try and make us into the country they moved from. You know, look at Dearborn, Michigan. Just Google newspaper in Dearborn, Michigan, and see what's going on out there.
Or Minneapolis, for that matter.
Or, which brings me to, you know, what's going on in UC Santa Barbara. They've got goat yoga now. My goodness, you know, I don't know. I was just guessing goat yoga. Hasn't it led to beheadings and drowning people and stuff like that with the Muslims. We don't want it here in this country, do we?
You know, I don't know why you're looking up goat yoga, Nick. I don't even want to ask how you possibly got onto a website that showed goat yoga. But anyhow, we'll save that for another time.
It was Breitbart.
Hey, we have another caller. And for the other listeners out there, hey, keep calling in. Nick and I are going to kill some more time here, but we need some callers to fill that airspace. If not, I'm going to make a hasty retreat out of here in a few minutes. So we have Anita in Monterey is on the phone. Anita, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, and I have a bit of a cold, so please excuse me if I sneeze on you.
Okay.
On your newspaper ideal, it was a great ideal. All you need to do is market it. I don't know how many different areas or how many different meetings you have and what the mileage radius is, but what you do is that all you need is advertisers, and what you do, you go to the pizza place. You say, listen, let's put a coupon in here. Buy one pizza, get 50% off the second one. Make it good, you know, make the newspaper every 30 days or every 60 days. You don't have to have anybody to put stamps on the envelopes. What you do is that you do a mass mailing. You pick out a zip code and that you mail it to every address there. And what you do is you get the pizza company, you get the tire company, you kind of get my drift there.
Yeah, we do. And I wish you were closer than Monterey, Anita, because I would put you in charge of that right now. But
I've done it many, many times.
Yeah.
And the coupons are so simple to do. Once they're made up, yes, you can print them off yourself, but it's just as cheap to go down and have, you know, some quickie place do it. And then you fold, then you do your newspaper on a legal sheet, and you do your coupons on legal size. You fold them, do a threefold, if you know, understand what I'm trying to say there.
Yeah, no, I get it.
You staple them, and then you take them to the post office, and they do the mass mailing for you. And it's cheap. It comes out to be like they do it at a better price. In other words, it's not the regular postage because you're doing a mass mailing.
Yeah, and we've done mass mailings before, when, like selected targeted areas where we've had town halls coming up or something.
Yeah, so you
right.
Understand what I'm saying.
I do.
To pay for it and to generate some income, it just gets your coupons going.
Yeah, and you know,
people love those coupons.
We have 21 counties with signed declarations in the state of Jefferson right now, and for basically the entire north state and on down past Sacramento along the eastern Sierras. And like we said, we have people right now that are going down to Tuolumne County. And talking in Sonora, we had some people go down to Mariposa County. Stanislaus County is active. So 21 counties.
At least Monterey was, but
yeah,
it's not.
You're a little far out of the scope, but you know what? You could definitely start the 53rd state down there, 52nd
well,
state down there.
I think we're looking someplace cheaper to retire, so we've been looking up there. So.
Well, good, because that's exactly who we want. We want our good people back, and we want more good people up here. And we think that there's going to be a lot of people that are going to move this way when we, you know, abolish some of the personal income taxes and some of the retirement taxes and lower our sales taxes. And, you know, we think that we're going
yes.
to get quite a few people that are here. Right now, we have good people in this state that are fleeing left and right. I don't know how many people I know personally that have moved to Montana or Idaho or, you know, Wyoming.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what, the thing is, folks, you know, for those of you here, you can run, but you can't hide. And, you know, things in California have been absolutely horrible as far as the taxes and the fines and the levies and the, you know, the permits and the licenses and the on and on and on. They just tax you to death, and then they give you no say in your representation. Well, let me tell you, you might find some more freedom right now in Idaho and Montana, but it's coming your way. If you don't stand and fight here, this state is leading the way, and you got to.
You know, let me say one more fast thing.
Absolutely.
And that is find out how much your mass mailing would be, and then add another, like, I don't know, 25% onto that for your labor, and then add another 25 to 35% on for a profit. And then you'll know how much to charge the businesses.
Okay, yeah.
Like if you get five businesses, divide it by five, and there you go.
Absolutely. If we can find somebody that would want to take on this task, by all means. I mean, we're open for anything, and it would be a great way to get
it out. Well, I'm sure you have my phone number, so please don't give it out on air.
Okay.
That I can give you, I can actually, like, send you some demos.
Okay.
Of how to do the coupons. They're so simple.
Okay. Yeah, we did have a newspaper up here for a while. The guys that were supposed to be sitting at this desk right now doing this radio show, they had a newspaper going, and it got cost prohibitive, and you know, there were some other
factors. Well, think about this. You can put on a legal size sheet of paper, you can put maybe 4 coupons. If you want to do smaller ones, you could put 8, or you could do 2. And then you might use like 5 legal sizes of paper, 4 for coupons, 1 for your newspaper, front and back. Like I said, do a 3-fold, boom, boom, staple them, take them to the post office and mail them. You don't have to put stamps on them.
Sounds good. I might put Nick in charge of that before we leave here.
Sounds like a good idea.
Hey, all right, so Anita.
I'm sure my phone number showed up, so I can send you demos on the coupons.
Okay,
how
sounds
to do it.
Great.
It's so simple. And I'll tell you what, it's a lot cheaper than them advertising in newspapers and stuff.
All right, sounds good to me. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Take care.
You too.
You know, getting back to the taxes we're going to eliminate. Maybe we'll get back to them after the break.
We're going to do a break real quick, and then we're going to get to some taxes. This is going to be fun. The time has come for 51.
And you're listening to Sovereign Minds on Community Talk Radio for the North State, AM 1460 KCNR.
County Veterans Service Office wishes all active duty, their families, and local veterans a Merry Christmas. Our troops make a courageous effort year-round to ensure Americans continue to enjoy the liberties given to them so long ago. This is Celestina Traver, your Shasta County Veterans Service Officer, saluting all Armed Forces men and women and wishing you a happy holiday season.
This salute brought to you by Simpson University and Dan's Optical.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Rejecting God's moral values leads to moral decay and lawlessness. The cause of this moral decay is the rejection of God, whose ways are absolute and unchangeable. This will eventually affect the ability to recognize the slow decay of one's morals while it decays, pollutes, and corrupts the mind and flesh, especially of our children. By giving your life to Jesus and living according to God's word, you will be protected against this moral decay. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you there. And remember, it's worth the ride.
Cold weather is quickly approaching Northern California. Give SST Oil a call today to hear their competitive prices for home heating fuel. Veterans are offered a 5% discount on heater sales and services and a 5% discount on home heating fuels. That's SST Oil. Give them a call at 241-1167. That's 241-1167. SST Oil. SST Oil supports our veteran community.
It's Ladybot and the Bluebirds, December 7th in Elements Lounge from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Hi, this is Linda Bott. Join me with a special Christmas show featuring Cleveland Bonet on keyboards, Joe Larson on trombone, Blue White on sax, Bobby Viramontes on drums, and Bruce Kalin on bass. That's Elements Lounge at Wind River Resort and Casino, 6:30 to 8:30, Thursday, December 7th. Let's celebrate this holiday season in Bluebird style.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Vistar Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at vistarbank.com. Vistar Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Join the conversation online in our chat room, kcnr1460.com.
Dead skunks in the road. I think we've covered them all at this point. Good choice there, Bob.
Can't go wrong with Creedence.
So why don't we talk about some of the taxes that we'll eliminate? I remember Mark saying that we were just going to have, what was it, three taxes in Jefferson? Property tax, sales tax, and what was the other one?
I don't really remember exactly. But maybe, I know we're going to have a lot less than we do now.
Well, we won't have the exorbitant California car registration fees. They were going to be comparable to Oregon. You know, these taxes we have right now, the ones that are going on to the gasoline, the carbon tax and this tax and that tax. Did you know that you pay sales tax on those taxes?
Yep.
That is just absolute. That's against the Constitution, isn't it?
Well, it's just like the CRV on a 12-pack of soda or 12-pack of beer. Now, you know, California redemption value is supposed to keep our roads clean and everything else, so it's a recycling fee. Well, you know, in my opinion, it's a tax. You get part of the tax back when you go to the recyclers, but there's also sales tax on top of that tax. So there's all sorts of cases where there's taxes on taxes. It's absolutely ridiculous.
I didn't know they taxed you on that deposit.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, you're paying extra for something that you would maybe
the
normally.
The theory being you don't get the entire 5 cents or
exactly.
10 cents a can or a bottle back when you, when in fact it actually gets weighed at the recycling center.
So therefore that's a tax in my opinion.
Might get 60 or 70% of that back.
Yeah.
I don't know, I've never done the entire math on that, but you're probably right.
Yeah.
Well, if you just leave a little, about maybe a quarter of an inch of the beer at the bottom of the can, that helps weigh it down a little bit.
I think that's called alcohol abuse, Nick, and all opinions here on this show, we do not support that in any way.
Hey, you know, I went to the safety meeting down at the city of Reading, and I was suggesting that with some of these people, you know, people are getting the wrong idea about homeless. There's homeless out there that really aren't creating a problem, and then we have all these people that are creating a problem, leaving the messes, committing crimes. And I got up there and I suggested that perhaps when you catch somebody that's living in a tent and they leave a big mess down there, maybe we should cut their food stamps off or some of their other benefits. When you see somebody on somebody's video that goes into the backyard and steals your kids' bikes or something like that, maybe we're being too generous with our social services. I was working the other day and I talked to a local business owner. This guy owns a restaurant on Churn Creek Road, and he's about ready to open one up over on this side of town at the corner of Placer and California Street. Within a month, he's going to open one. He said he advertised extensively for help, even hired a personnel agency, and got one application. That tells me that maybe we're just a little bit too generous with our social services because people don't have the incentive to work. I know when I was hungry, I had the incentive to work. So I suggested, well, you know, maybe we, the city of Redding, should get together with Shasta County and trim them down a little bit. People come from all over the United States to, because we take so good care of people that don't have the work ethic that the people that built this country do.
Well, there's also, Nick, I keep hearing that we need a lot of illegal immigration because there's jobs that Americans won't do. I hear that all the time. And, you know, but yet I see a lot of Americans that don't work. So I think I might have a solution. Let's see, if you have jobs that Americans won't do and you have a lot of Americans that won't work, I think we can fill that need without illegal immigration. I'm pretty sure I can come up with a solution. I'll have to think on it, but I think I got one in the back of my mind now.
Well, when they get their electricity cut off and they don't have any place to live, maybe they decide they need to go out and earn their living. But, you know, also there...
We're going to go into a hard break here, Nick, so I think we're going to go ahead and come back on the third hour. So this is Jefferson State of Mind on Sovereign Minds, and we'll see you back after the top of the hour.
All right, stay tuned for hour two of Sovereign Minds on KCNR, Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Democrats are complaining that Republicans rammed their tax overhaul through the Senate and did not listen to their concerns about health care. Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has a different take.
They were complaining about our repealing the individual mandate in Obamacare in this bill, but none of them offered an amendment to take it out. They had plenty of opportunity. They decided it was important to them politically to oppose this tax measure.
McConnell spoke on ABC TV's This Week program. Next up, a conference committee to square the Senate bill with a House bill, then on to President Trump's desk before Christmas if all goes as planned. Meanwhile, the president is blasting the FBI today over reports an agent had to be removed from Robert Mueller's Russia investigation because of anti-Trump text messages. In a series of tweets today, Mr. Trump said the FBI's reputation is, quote, in tatters, worst in history. We will bring it back to greatness. The president said earlier today he never asked former director James Comey to stop investigating ex-National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. Officials say the president could announce this week he's recognizing Jerusalem as Israel's capital.
The president is said to be intent on fulfilling his campaign pledge to move the U.S. Embassy from Jerusalem to Tel Aviv, but he's mindful of the sensitivity of such a declaration and how it could impact his administration's efforts to forge a peace agreement between Israel and the Palestinians. Declaring Jerusalem as the Israeli capital could be announced even as the U.S. delays an embassy move. However, last week, Vice President Pence said the president is actively considering when and how to move the embassy. Greg Clugston, the White House.
College football's Final Four is set, and Alabama is in. The Crimson Tide selected today over Ohio State by the playoff committee and will play Clemson in one semifinal. Oklahoma and Georgia meet in the other one. This is SRN News.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For a free quote, call 800-523-3771. That's 800-523-3771. 800-523-3771. Or go to selectquote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
A subsidiary of an Italian energy company has received a federal grant to drill the first oil exploration wells in U.S. Arctic waters in 2 years.
The Federal Bureau of Safety and Environmental Enforcement has announced it has approved an application from ENI U.S. Operating Company to drill exploratory wells in the Beaufort Sea. Drilling could begin this month from Spy Island, a gravel artificial island in state waters about 3 miles off the coast near Prudhoe Bay. ENI will use extended-reach drilling techniques to reach federal submerged lands.
Correspondent Jeremy House. Greece's finance minister says an agreement has been reached between the heavily indebted country and its creditors on its progress in implementing reforms. The agreement on the so-called third assessment of Greece's latest bailout program will allow the country to get fresh funds next year after it implements workplace reforms. News and analysis at townhall.com. Ford is recalling more than 200,000 pickup trucks and SUVs in North America because front seat cushions can come loose in a crash.
The recall covers certain 2016 F-150 and Explorer vehicles equipped with front power seats. The company says a bolt in the power seat adjuster can come loose or fall out. If that happens, the seat cushion can move too far. Ford says it's not aware of any crashes or injuries from the problem. Dealers will check the bolts. If they pass inspection, mechanics will clean them and reinstall them with an adhesive to keep them secured. If the bolt fails inspection, it will eventually be replaced with the proper parts. Bob Agnew reporting.
Today is Sunday, December the 3rd, a birthday for some famous people, including some actors you might know. Daryl Hannah is 57, as is Julianna Moore. Brendan Fraser, remember George of the Jungle, 49 years old today. Olympic gold medal figure skater Katarina Witt is 52. More on these stories at townhall.com.
As Californians, we are fortunate to live in such a rich agricultural state. California agriculture generates roughly $37.5 billion annually, more than any other state. Orchard Nutrition Center believes that buying local not only supports North State agriculture, but decreases the amount of time between harvest to your family's table, resulting in the freshest, most nutritious meat and produce available. Hat Creek Grown is one of the largest providers of grass-fed beef in California and is a featured vendor of Orchard Nutrition Center. Grass-fed beef has about one-half to one-third the amount of fat than grain-fed beef. It is lower in calories and can also lower LDL cholesterol levels. Hat Creek Grown is family-owned, with its roots dating back to 1903. Delicious, local, natural. Hat Creek Grown at Orchard Nutrition Center, 221 Locust Street in Redding. Now open 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. 7 days a week to better serve your family. Orchard Nutrition Center.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Sovereign Minds. Mark and Linda Kent are both under the weather this morning, but our guest hosts from Jefferson State of Mind, Chris Kallstrom and Nick Gardner, have both agreed to stay on in this, what's their third hour, the second hour of Sovereign Minds, and we'll probably have no trouble getting them through it. If you would like to chime in, we have two open phone lines at the moment. 530-605-4567 is our number here at AM 1460 KCNR.
Yes.
Chris, you and Nick are doing a superb job this morning.
Well, thanks. Yeah, please call in. And honey, I'm going to be a little late because I have 1 hour show turned into we're going on the third now. So
we're holding him hostage.
Hey, we were talking during the break about some taxes, and something came up here. So maybe we'll do this devil advocate segment because Nick wants to talk about some local taxes here and a tax plan that after we were talking about it, I'm thinking that I'm probably against it. So normally the two hosts totally agree on everything, but this one we might not. So I don't know. I'm going to let Nick talk about his tax plan they want to talk about, and we'll have a little hearty discourse here. So Nick, what were you talking about earlier?
Well, actually, it's not my tax plan. It is Gary Cad's tax plan. But before we dive into this, I want to give a shout-out to my son, Logan Gardner. I recall when I was when he was about seventh grade, I had him mowing the lawns, and he didn't like mowing lawns. And I look out one day, and he'd figured out how to lower the lawnmower, and all of a sudden I have bare ground. Well, Logan and his fiance, Whitney Webb, are raking leaves at home, and I want to shout out to Logan right now. Don't get the chainsaw and cut the limbs off the trees so you don't have to rake limbs next year, okay? You got that, Logan? You know, I was going back and forth about the crime here in Reading and cutting off the benefits, being we don't have a jail to hold them in or even a holding cell. And City Attorney DeWitt said, well, the state of California won't let us do that, blah, blah, blah. And I suggested maybe it was a good time to create a new state. The state of California has us held back and got our hands tied, and we can't do anything. So on the open lines with Carl Bott Thursday morning, Gary Cadd called in. He has the idea of instituting a half-cent sales tax to solely build a jail for Shasta County. This tax will be instituted. There will be a citizens committee. In other words, this tax isn't going to go into the general fund, and you've got this much money to build a jail. Now, I recall when the city wanted to do the half-cent sales tax, I believe they were going to bring in $10 million a year. So, you know, in 3 years, you got $30 million, and you build a jail. When you get the jail built, you drop it down to a quarter cent to maintain the jail, to staff it and maintain it. You've got to remember, too, if we had the state of Jefferson, it wouldn't have to be to the standards of California. You know, so what if it isn't earthquake-proof, you know, and that kind of stuff. you know, the point was, the supervisors and the city are not going to have control of the money. And the reason they wouldn't have control of it is specifically, Gary said, because we don't trust you. That's why we didn't pass D. We do not trust you with our money. If we had a citizens group, and I'll be glad to volunteer, and I'm sure there'd be a number of people volunteering out there, that we could do that. What say you, Chris?
Okay, well, first of all, let me start out by saying I have utmost respect for Gary Cadd, as well as I do you, Nick. Gary Cadd was the last fiscal conservative that the Reading City Council has seen. They were able to get rid of him. After they got rid of Pat, they were able to get rid of him. So with all due respect, and I do have a lot of respect for Gary Cadd, I believe that this sales tax would turn into the same exact thing as the lottery money did for the schools. And you remember the lottery money, boy, we were going to have so much extra money in our school system because we had this lottery money that was, oh, the sale of lottery tickets were going to fund everything. Well, the state of California just took the funding from the schools right out of there, stole the money that was originally sent to the schools and replaced it with this lottery money, so the net result was zero. Now, you mentioned a citizens group saying that they would ensure that that wouldn't happen. Well, I still think you're dealing with a city council that cannot find enough money to do anything. They would take every nickel. They're very much like the state of California. They're going to take every last nickel they can get their hands on. So my fears would be you put the sales tax on there, you get these funds for the jail. I'm not even sure if a citizens group would be able to take control of government funds, but let's just say they can. We'll alleviate that argument. So now you have a citizens group that says this money has to go for jails. What would stop the Reading City Council from saying, great, we're going to take some money out of this general fund and use it for something else? Now, the citizens group would obviously say, well, no, wait a minute, you can't do that because we are taking this money here specifically for a jail. You can't take that public safety money that was already there and use it for something else. Well, what if they do? What's going to stop them from saying, I'm sorry, we're going to take this $1 million out of the public safety thing, and either your citizens group replaces it with your money, or we take four cops off the street. So
you
that would be my fear.
You started your argument saying you had the greatest respect for Gary Cadd, and you say that.
Well,
I'm just teasing you. Well, you know, why couldn't it go into a separate fund? And in fact, what you know, I respect your argument, and I agree with you, because you'd have to separate that from the existing jail, because they would mingle funds and they'd get over on us right there. And as far as the city goes, they're shoving all the jail off on the county. It's the county's responsibility, and that's always been a sore spot with me, because the city puts the bulk of the prisoners in there, but they don't want to pay for any of it. Well, you know, I've heard this mentioned about Anderson, and I love Anderson and everything, but somebody mentioned in comments, you know, they take and arrest somebody and haul them up to Reading and put them in jail, and grant you, they're turned loose the same day, but they don't have a ride back to Anderson.
And they don't have their backpack that they were arrested with. That's one of the big secrets there is, I mean, and one of the great things they have done is when you are arrested, they take your backpack and they put it in storage because you can't take it to the jail. Well, you have a storage fee on that backpack. So people know in Anderson that if you get arrested for, you know, shoplifting, whatever, and that backpack that every one of these guys packs around with them, that backpack is going to be put into storage while you are booked into the jail. Immediately you are released. You don't have a ride back to Anderson. If you do get a ride back to Anderson, you don't have your backpack. If you pay the $40 storage fee, you can get your backpack back. So people know in Anderson, it would be better to go shoplift somewhere else because I'm going to lose, you know, my syringes and whatever else I have hidden in my backpack at this point. So Anderson has done some great things. Yes, they have done some wonderful things down there.
Brilliant!
Now, here's my idea, Nick, on, and maybe somebody can, massage this a little bit and make it a little bit better and run with it. But I had brought up to Tom Basenko, and I said, you know, you've got a jail staff there. You've got the jail there. You've got, whatever, 500 beds. But you've got one shift. The prisoners sleep at night and they're awake during the day. I said, why can't you double the capacity of the jail and make half of them sleep during the day and awake at night, and the other half asleep during the night and awake at day? I mean, half the population in there, if not more, are basically like a bunch of possums anyways. Most of them are nocturnal. So I don't even think it would be a big stretch. You've already got staff. It's not like the Mayberry Jail where, you know, Barney and Andy go home at night and Otis lets himself in and lets himself out. I mean, you've got staff there. So, of course, Tom told me, well, that's called hot bunking and it's against the law and we'd get sued. Well, here's my thoughts on that. A lot of these gun laws that California passes, like the 10-day waiting period, the cooling-off period, they're unconstitutional, they're unlawful, and Tom, you yourself are a member of a sheriff's group that often ends up suing California over these gun laws, and kudos to you, and we appreciate that, and that's great. Now, the problem is those laws are still in effect while your lawsuits are finding their way through courts. Oftentimes, even after you won the court case, like the 10-day waiting period, for instance, the cooling-off period, even after that case is won, they come back and say, California, sorry, that was unconstitutional. And California says, yeah, well, we don't really believe in that old document anyway, so we don't care if we lost in court. You still are going to have a 10-day waiting period. They thumb their noses, and that's it. So years go by. Once they write an unconstitutional law and impose it upon us, years go by while that thing is still in effect. So my challenge is go ahead, double the occupants of the jail, put them on two shifts. The amount of guards, they already have guards there. Sure, there's going to be a couple little cost increases. Let the ACLU sue us. Let whoever the groups are sue us. While you're finding out in court, you're going to have your problem solved for 3 or 4 years. And if you're like California, when you lose the lawsuit, if you do, well, you've solved the problem for 3 or 4 years anyways, and maybe you just ignore the results of the lawsuit like California does the gun laws. What do you think, Nick?
I think that's a wonderful idea. But, you know, getting back to the criminals and the fact is we don't have enough jail space and we make it too comfortable for them around here. I want to say thank you, Reading Police Department, for moving them around and making them uncomfortable. I'm sure some have left the area because, you know, it's just not comfortable here anymore. You know, I suggested to Chief Moore, why don't we build some drunk tanks? And you pick them up at 9 in the morning, and you give them a vegetarian sandwich to eat about 2, and you turn them loose about 8 o'clock at night. And, you know, pretty quick they're going to say, I don't like this place anymore. We're going to leave. Well, you know what? He says it costs us a fortune to build this because it's got to be up to California. And we've got to have hot food on the premises and this and that. And that's why we need to get away from California that makes all these ridiculous rules.
Yeah, and you know, and when we do get away from California, I'll tell you, there's a little thing when I teach this in my newbies class. If you guys come down here to 3276 Pacelli Lane on Monday nights, is one of the things, many of the things that I tell you, is when West Virginia split from Virginia, when they came, that was during the Civil War, and when they came back together, the people of Virginia said, "Hey, listen, those, of course, they weren't jails and Caltrans departments or whatnot, but they said, hey, those armories and those forts and all that stuff, that was ours. That we want that back." Well, that went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court basically said, any government buildings and properties that lie within the boundaries of the new state become the property of the new state day one. They help pay for those, and they lie within their state boundaries. So here's an interesting fact on the state of Jefferson. We have three prisons in the state of Jefferson. We have the Pelican Bay, we have the High Desert, and I believe there's a federal one also over in Susanville. So those prisons are now Jefferson prisons. Day one, they're Jefferson prisons. Day two, we take a head count and say, hey, some of this population, in fact, about 96-97% of this population is California prisoners. You want these guys back, or do you want to pay us to keep them? Because they're all your guys, so what's it going to be? So those counties with a prison would become very wealthy immediately. And we would now have room in our prison system where we could get some of these guys out of our county jails and put them back in prison, not to mention the realignment and Prop 47 and all those other things are all going to go away too. So,
well, that's absolutely right. And you know, the thing about those out-of-state prisoners that are out of the area prisoners, they come up here and their families follow them up. That's a pet peeve I've had about group homes. You know, little Johnny, dirty talking little Johnny gets in trouble and they stick him in a group home up here from, say, Richmond or Sacramento or San Francisco. Well, his family follows him up here, and usually they're not pick of the litter either. Well, you've got the same thing with the prisoners in Susanville. And, you know, we give them the boot. We parole them back to their county of where they were sentenced from, and their family can follow them back there. And we'd be cleaning up our population at the same time. And if we left them here, we could charge them. But, you know, the biggest thing that has hurt California, in my opinion, is the exorbitant wages we pay city, county, and state and our pensions. And, you know, you want to look at why that hole in the street out there isn't fixed. Well, because that money's going to pay for the pensions.
Yep, there's a lot of problems with that. Hey, we're going to go off to another break here. And when we come back, you'll all want to come back because we have Mr. Dick Wilkerson on the phone, a great patriot there. So the time has come for 51.
And for Dick to make a call.
Absolutely, and we'll be back.
You're listening to Sovereign Minds on Community Talk Radio for the North State. AM 1460, KCNR.
This is a story about Billy Joe and Bobby Sue. Two young lovers with nothing better to do. They sit around the house, get high and watch them too. And here's what happened when they decided to cut loose. They headed down to where they ran into a great big hassle. Billy Joe shot a man while robbing his castle. Bobby Sue took the money and run. Go on, take the money and run.
December brings us together with traditions. Come join me, Linda Bott, with my jazz ensemble featuring Bruce Kalin on bass and Bernie Baker on guitar in the beautiful setting of View 202 this Sunday evening from 5:30 to 8.
Catch Linda Bott and her jazz ensemble this Sunday, December 3rd at View 202 on Hempstead Drive in Reading, overlooking the river.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51.
in a Jefferson state of mind.
I think one great benefit to having a Turtle Bay membership, I love that it's one place we can go to and bring our family, and there's something for everybody. There's activities for our one-year-old to do, and there's also exhibits and things for our six-year-old to do, and it's just a good variety of things for all ages.
We're members of Turtle Bay because I think education is really important, and I think kids need to learn that they can learn out of the classroom and learn in real life, and I think Turtle Bay brings that experience to them as they can see things that they see out and about outside of school and learn something.
Season's greetings from the Reading Civic Auditorium. This is Nathan Parmalee, talent buyer for the Civic. We wish all our veterans and active duty servicemen and women a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. Everyone at the Reading Civic Auditorium is grateful for your service to our country and extend our hopes for a peaceful and prosperous new year for you and your families. Stay warm, stay safe, and we'll see you soon at the Civic.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
The truth is found to be alive in all the joy within you.
Welcome back, Sovereign Minds and Jeffersonians. I happened to be in the room when Mark Kent called in and said he wasn't going to be here for Sovereign Minds, and they were going to replay a show. And Bob mentioned, well, we could maybe keep these guys over. And I was shaking my head, absolutely not. There is no way. We're going to have a hard time enough.
Probably about last half hour.
Yeah, so anyhow, we are still here. Fortunately, my co-host here, just in the nick of time, has kept us on track and talking about good stuff. So our next guy is Dick Wilkerson is on the phone, and he always has good stuff for you. Welcome, Dick.
Yeah, here's some really good stuff. You know, Governor Brown and our wonderful legislator in Sacramento, they keep dreaming of ways to change the law so we can allow more prisoners out. And the way it's going, pretty soon they're going to pick up on my idea to let all the prisoners out, and that is we abolish all laws, and that there would be no crime. It's laws what's committing crime. So if they get that idea, pretty soon we'll be able to empty all the jails because there would be no crime.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, Dick, because actually I was doing a little research or doing a little, you know, show prep and looking in the state of California, and it really cracked me up because I got into something with crime. And property crimes are down in California the last couple of years, as is violent crime is down. Do you guys feel like violent crime and property crime is down?
Well, I think that a lot of people feel like it's a waste of time calling to complain.
The reason it's down is because they've decriminalized so many crimes, they're no longer crimes.
They're not crime anymore.
Yep. Yeah, I talked to a guy at the gun show, and he said, I can't believe they're saying crime is down. I said, well, I guarantee you felonies are down. And he kind of looked at me funny. I go, well, there's nothing a felony anymore. You have a rifle clip over 10 rounds, that's a felony. But everything else, you know, shooting up heroin, you know, raping unconscious people, breaking into homes, stealing guns, none of that's a felony anymore. So felonies are down. That's the good news, folks. Felonies are down everywhere.
But you know what, Dick? You're talking about not having any laws. When we create the state of Jefferson, we're going to be able to make our own laws.
That's good.
And there's some ridiculous laws out there, just absolutely ridiculous. We can make laws that make sense.
Okay, another topic. You know, our house is off of South Bonneville with the big red barn, and this is the eighth year that we have a Salvation Army red kettle out there, and we've been, I turned my lights on December 1, and Doyle Whitaker and Robert Exter has been out helping me the last two nights, and we're going to be out again tonight. And anyway, people are, we're lit up big time like we always are, and I'm inviting people to come by and look at the lights, and if you can, make a generous donation to the Salvation Army.
Now, Dick, are you still number one in Shasta County for red kettle donations? Are you the number one spot still?
Yeah, last year we took in $22,883 in front, almost $23,000. In the last 7 years, we've raised $116,000. So we're still at it again, and we always try to beat the record the year before, but pretty soon it's going to be tough to do, you know. It's just, I equate it to a pole vaulter. You know, he clears the bar and then they raise it and they raise it again, and pretty soon you can't get over again, and we're going to reach that point probably.
Yeah, folks.
But we're trying again. But anyway, like we were passing out the candy canes to the kids last year. We gave away 22,000 of these 5-inch candy canes, and right now in my barn I have 21,000 for this year. So come by and get a candy cane, and if you can, make a donation to Salvation Army.
I heard that the Dentist Association donates some candy canes to you. Is that true?
No, who?
The Dentist Association.
But their candy canes come with a business card attached to it.
Hey, Dick, thank you so much for all that you and Fran do. I mean, yeah, this guy is a patriot. He helps out every way. Jefferson, you got something needs to be done. It's Dick Wilkerson. And when he's not doing all this stuff for us, I mean, here he is out collecting funds for, you know, the Red Kettle. He is an amazing patriot. Thank you so much for both of you.
My name is actually Wilkinson. W-I-L-K-I-N-S-O-N.
Okay.
Wilkinson.
Wilkinson.
Yeah, my name is misspelled quite frequently. Anyway, hey, glad you have Nick on there. If you didn't have him, he'd be calling in a lot anyway.
There
so
you
might
go.
Well be on the show there. Okay, goodbye.
All right, thank you, Dick.
Hey, I'd like to shout out a challenge right now. Hey, Carl Bott, let's have Gary Cadd on your show for a half hour to explain his plan for a jail in Reading and how to finance it. Well, why don't you do that? Because I'll tell you what. It's going to take us citizens to straighten out our town and our crime, because obviously the politicians can't do it. So why don't you do that, whether you like the idea or not?
You know, I think we used to have city jails and county jails. Maybe my shout-out challenge would people trust the Anderson City Council. Maybe we should build an Anderson City Jail. People trust them with their tax dollars. And you know, they passed a half-cent, a quarter-cent, half-cent sales tax down their quarter-cent a couple years ago. And the only reason they were able to pass it is because people trusted them with their tax dollars. They do not have trust here in the Reading City Council.
Well, you know, I live on a little island that is surrounded by the city of Reading. It's the Wilshire Island, and I approached Melissa Hunt about annexing us to the city of Anderson. You know, I'm really impressed with Anderson. They're can-do. What can we do to help you? You know, it's just amazing, and we could have that same attitude up here. That being said, let's get to the state of education in California.
Okay, this ought to be fun. Let's go to state education.
Well, you know, 30, 40 years ago, California was rated 7th or 8th in the nation. We've dropped to last, and yet we spend more per pupil.
Yes, we do. We spend exactly a lot more per pupil, and the results aren't very good, are they?
Well, we're in last place. Oh, I was talking to a freshman in high school. He goes to Shasta High School one day, chatting with him. Really nice, well-spoken young man. If I saw his parents, I'd compliment him on what a good job they are doing raising him. And I asked him, you know, if he'd learned about the Constitution. No. I says, are they teaching it to you now? No. Are they going to teach it to you? He said he didn't think so. I recall that we had to pass a Constitution test to leave eighth grade.
Well, I'll tell you, you speak of Constitution in schools. My daughter went to Anderson New Tech High School, and you know, as soon as she mentioned they were talking about the Constitution in class, and oh boy, the hair on the back of my neck kind of bristled, because yeah, I've heard all these stories, and I've heard, you know, some of the things the kids have been taught, and I mean, there's a whole reason that we have an entire generation out there that hates this country. So as soon as she mentioned that, I thought, oh boy, here we go. Well, then she starts telling me some of the stuff her teacher's teaching them, and I'm like, oh boy, yeah, she's right. That's correct. Well, no, she's right. Yeah, that's exactly how it happened. And suddenly I realized, well, you know, you hear the horror stories, but there's some good stories out there. So I shout out to Anderson New Tech High School, because my daughter's teachers absolutely taught the Constitution and taught the things that I would have been teaching myself. I can't remember the teacher's name, or I'd shout out her specifically, but, you know, there are some good schools out there.
Oh, there certainly are, and that's the ones we could mimic in the state of Jefferson.
Absolutely.
You know, we could, each county could have its own educational system, and we could figure out which ones are doing the best job. You know, in Shasta County here, I'm not sure, but I think there's over 20 different school districts.
I know there's quite a few of them. I know we're down in Cottonwood, and one of the reasons we're in Cottonwood is the school system down there is very good. I mean, that's one of the better school systems in Shasta County. We've been extremely happy with that, with the Cottonwood schools so far. You know, I think in general, Shasta County schools are probably better than the vast majority of the state. I mean, I'm sure the, you know, Richmond schools and Los Angeles schools, and I'm sure a lot of those school systems would be more than happy to have the results and the education that our kids get up here in Shasta County. But there's still some flaws and there's still some things that could be done better.
Oh, there's plenty of room for improvement. You know, the high school, the kids that enter high school, the dropout rate is over 30% in California. Certainly that's not up here in this area, but, you know, that's just a crying shame. And every kid deserves a good education.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. And they would have one in Jefferson.
We you know, and sure I think that. Every kid ought to get a free lunch at school. When my son was in second grade, I went and helped his class. Kindergarten, first and second grade. I went once a week and helped his class, and I sat in there and I ate with the kids. And some of these kids, I saw that was the only decent meal they got a day. But what really irked me is I looked at the middle class family. They would send their kid to school with his homework done, with a lunch, well fed, and it was just the opposite with the people that probably were on social services and HUD was paying their rent. And I just thought, this is a dirty shame. Every kid ought to get a free lunch and a quality lunch at school.
Yeah, well, you know, I won't argue with that, but again, it's cost prohibitive. That's no such thing as a free lunch. Somebody's paying for it, but you know, yeah, there's a lot of things that could be changed, and I agree with you. There seems to be nobody in that middle part that there's no things for them. If you're ultra rich, your stuff's taken care of. If you're, you know, poor, then we have programs for you, and those people in the middle have nothing. Speaking of the middle, we're going to go to a break right now, so when we come back, it looks like we have Greg Cheadle on the phone. So the time has come for 51
and Greg Cheadle.
Again, you're listening to Sovereign Minds. Do not adjust your set. Mark and Linda are under the weather today, and our guest hosts today, the same ones we had for Jefferson earlier this morning, Chris Kallstrom and Nick Gardner.
New production of A Cascade Christmas is coming to Redding's historic Cascade Theater. It's Shasta County's theatrical holiday spectacular, returning to the stage for 2 weekends full of dancing, singing, snowflakes, and candy canes. It starts the day after Thanksgiving, an all-new show for the whole family, with evening and matinee performances, plus photos with Santa after each 2 p.m. show. Get your tickets now at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
In Redding alone, a property crime is committed every 2.5 hours. That's 3,837 in 2016. That includes burglary, larceny, and vehicle theft. If your business has plants, keep them in planter boxes with sides at least 4 feet high. By making the boxes raised very narrow and allowing plants to grow over them, it makes them difficult to both hide in or sit on for long periods of time. This security moment brought to you by North State Security, an ounce of prevention since 1968.
This is Jim Gibson. As a Navy veteran and former submariner,
I want to wish a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to my fellow submariners and the other North State veterans. But we want to also remember those that are overseas, and a Happy New Year for them, and we should be praying for all of them.
This Veterans Holiday Salute brought to you by the McConnell Foundation and Reading Civic Auditorium.
Join the conversation online in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Sovereign Minds. This is Chris Kellstrom, and I got my buddy here, Nick Gardner, and of course the ever-present Bob Martin. So we are here on our third hour. My understanding, we have Gregory Cheadle is on the phone, so we're going to go to Greg. Greg, are you still there?
I'm here. Thank you so much. Haven't been around that much due to a lot of things going on, but
you've been ruffling a few feathers, Gregory. I know that.
I've had my feathers ruffled.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm calling because one of my concerns is, you know, I did a graduate degree in healthcare, and I've not heard that much discussion about the state of Jefferson with respect to healthcare funding. So if you guys could talk about that a little bit. And also, to what extent will the state of Jefferson be addicted to federal funds? And I say that because when you look at one of the programs that the feds have on the table is called Healthy People, and that part of that involves mandatory vaccines. And so the concern there is that we have a growing population of autistic children and adults. And so I'm asking all these questions because I'm just trying to find out how in the world the state of Jefferson will deal with that.
Okay, well,
that population.
If I could chime in here right now, Greg, let me say one thing. We certainly couldn't do any worse than it's being handled right now, could we?
Well, that's true.
I would hope not.
Let me hit the vaccines first, Greg, because mandatory anything by the government mandating anything and telling you you have to do something, that is not going to be a popular position in the state of Jefferson.
That's what I need to hear.
Absolutely not. I mean, now, you know, I've been told to not by anybody in Jefferson. I've actually been told by a gal that's a millennial that I wanted to, you know, pick her brain a little bit and see how, as I want to talk to more millennials and I want to talk to, you know, younger people and get younger people involved. And I mentioned the vaccine thing, and she said, you know, that's a third rail item there. You might want to stay away from it. There's people that, you know, are definitely pro-vaccine, and boy,
you're
protecting the herd. And then there's other people, you know, I'm not going to say I'm anti-vaccine or pro-vaccine, but I'm absolutely pro-choice on vaccines. If you want, you know, hey, maybe you say, listen, my kid really needs to be vaccinated against polio because that is a horrible, horrible disease, and we pretty much wiped it out. So I will take the polio vaccine. But you know what? Chicken pox, I had chicken pox when I was a kid. Big deal. I don't need to stick my kid with a needle and take a risk of something going wrong to save them from chicken pox. So mandatory anything by the government in Jefferson will not be, and that includes, I mean, I'll tell you this, my thoughts on this. I don't believe I should have to put a seatbelt on to run down to the grocery store. Now, I would definitely recommend that everybody put a seatbelt on if they're going to drive on a paved road, but I don't like my government telling me I have to do that. I would not get on a motorcycle out on a pavement or ride a motorcycle without a helmet, but I think you should have the right to do that. You're going to hurt nobody but yourself. And vaccines, in my opinion, are the same way. You're not going to hurt anybody else. If all the other kids are vaccinated and yours isn't, okay, how are you going to hurt the kids that are vaccinated if the vaccines work? So.
Well, yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. And but see, what people fail to realize, there's two things real quick. One is that no one, or rarely has anyone read the package inserts to the vaccine. That's the first thing. The second thing is when you give government the power to dictate what it can put into your body with respect to a vaccine, what in the world is next that they can put into something?
You know what? Exactly. Maybe we have too many children, so maybe we should put some, you know, estrogen in some shots to the girls so that we,
yeah,
we don't.
Yeah, I mean,
have,
maybe like me, I'm so ugly they have to put something in the vaccine to make me look better.
Well,
I don't
you know.
Know.
Hey, and apparently, according to you know a certain population, I mean, every man out there is you know a sex predator or whatever. So
oh,
maybe
yes,
we need to
yes,
take care of that
yeah,
too. You
yeah.
know. So now, as far as the federal funding addiction, and I like how you put that because that's pretty good summary there. Mark Barrett has a fantastic solution to that. You know, I think it can be done. I think it will be done. But he has a fantastic solution. So what Greg's talking about is, for instance, we pay all of our federal income taxes, and the federal government has a whole bunch more money than they should have because that's not how our country was set up. But it is what it is, and that's where it is today. So if the federal government decides, hey, everybody needs to go to 55 mile per hour speed limit, and, you know, there's some states like, I don't know, say, you know, Wyoming that says, for crying out loud, 55 miles per hour. I mean, we got two tumbleweeds and one curve in 140 miles. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, then the federal government says, well, then we're going to pull all your funding if you do not go by this. Same thing happened with the 21-year-old drinking laws.
Exactly.
They said we're going to raise the limit to 21 years old to buy alcohol. And there were some states like Hawaii, for instance, made a ton of money. That was the place to go when I graduated, was Hawaii, because you could go there and legally drink at 18, so it was a great party spot. Well, Hawaii said, you know, we don't need to change that. We're going to leave ours at 18. Well, then the federal government said, well, then you're not going to get any money. Well, Mark Barrett has a wonderful solution to that, and that is you pay your federal income taxes into an escrow account. You pay them to the state of Jefferson federal escrow account, and the state of Jefferson holds those, you know, overnight, whatever it is. They're going to still be due on the same day, and then the state of Jefferson turns those federal funds over to the federal government. So if the federal government ever comes to the state of Jefferson and says, hey, you know what, we're going to have mandatory vaccinations. Hey, we're going to make you wear a helmet. We're going to whatever the case may be. We're not going to let Gregory Cheadle talk anymore. Whatever the case may be, if the federal government comes to them, then the state of Jefferson will go, okay, you're going to withhold our federal funds? Well, guess what? You're not going to. We're going to keep our federal funds right here in Jefferson, so you're not getting our federal funds. You don't. We don't need to have you give them back to us. We'll just keep them to begin with. So what do you think of that, Greg?
Love it.
Okay.
You know, and I just want to make it very clear, I've been a supporter for the state of Jefferson, and I continue to be that way.
Let me chime in here, Greg. There might be such a thing, we could wean the government off our hind tip, the federal government. They don't need all our money. They're just wasting it.
Well, yeah, it goes to special interests. It goes to all those subsidies, those lucrative government contracts, all that stuff.
How about foreign aid? It's my understanding they just vote on one bill for foreign aid, yes or no. They, you know, we're giving money to countries that hate us.
Well, we are. And, you know, I just can't say it enough. The true fight is between the uber rich and the rest of us.
Yep. Yeah, and it's funny because the uber rich, a lot of times they have a way of taking funds from us and diverting them back to themselves. It's like,
right.
You know, so for instance, I'm just going to throw this name out here, Dianne Feinstein, you know, makes $196,000 or $193,000 as a U.S. senator, and she's worth millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. Well, you know, and almost every one of the senators and representatives back there in Washington, D.C., I believe a representative makes $173,000 or $176,000 senator makes 193, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's a decent paying job. I would take it, but I've done the math, and you make $190,000 a year for 6 years, you do not become worth $20 million. I don't care how you do it. Common core math or not, you cannot come a multi-millionaire off of less than $200,000 a year for 6 years.
Well, you know, Feinstein's husband got that lucrative government contract to sell the government properties that netted him probably around $1 billion.
Yeah, he's also going to build our bullet train.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and he also, I believe, was going to add to Shasta Dam to increase the height of Shasta Dam, too. So,
you have all these nice networkings where these guys are getting money from our pockets.
Yep.
they're getting richer, and all the adage again, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer.
Exactly.
What do they do with all that money? How can you spend that much?
I think it's a game at this point where it's a power trip. It's not about money anymore. It's about power.
Yeah, I think you're right, because, I mean, really, how can you possibly spend, you know? I mean, I'd love to try it. Don't get me wrong.
Me too.
Give me a shot. Yeah, heck yeah. But, you know, yeah, once you get over, you know, a couple hundred million, it's just a numbers game. You know, hey, I want to be more powerful than you.
Are you speaking from the words of experience?
You know, unfortunately, no, but I did stay
you
in
you just said it so casually.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, you know, I'm speaking from words of experience on the other end.
Yes, yes, where I had my last nickel taken from me.
I've had a little practice in that myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, listen, I appreciate you guys so much, and, you know, blessings to you, and hope 2018 is going to be a great year.
All right, Greg, you know what? There was no feathers ruffled whatsoever there, so, in fact, I hope I smooth some feathers down.
Oh, okay, good, man.
All right,
Greg. You guys take care.
Hey,
thank you
too.
So much.
Thank you so much. And we got Billy Bob and Palo Sutras on the line. Now, next to Nick, Billy Bob is the next funnest caller, so let's hear what you have to say, Billy Bob. Are you there, Billy Bob?
Hello?
Hey, there you are.
Hey, you guys are doing a great job filling in. I can't believe it. You got to get your own radio program. Nick, I so much appreciate your phone calls all the time, and they're so to the point and accurate, including that rant you did on the McConnell Foundation the other day. That was so precise, spot on, and there's more to that story. I won't go into it now, but...
Oh, I know there Here. Is, but I don't know it all. I told you what I know, and I was just so thankful to have the platform to get it out and educate people of what has really gone on in this town, just a little bit of it anyway.
Oh, hey, let me give you a little tidbit of what I know. When the McConnells, my dad was their doctors, both of them, Carl and Leah, and made house calls to them. And I know the inside story. Their initial foundation was funded for $13 million was all. And they had family in the Puget Sound area, Leah did, and they were all promised and saw the will for money in their direction. And all of a sudden, about a year and a half later, Lee Salters and John Mancicola and... Don't get into a argument with them. They'll crucify you. But anyway, the thing is that the foundation ended up being worth $157 million. And the family in Puget Sound didn't get a dime. So, no, that's the inside story. So they're a bunch of crooks. And so you were spot on with that. But my point for my call is simply that with your free thinking, I wanted to put this out. And all these immigrants and all this city of Reading, they can't clean their streets. And it's just a constant problem. We don't have any jail space. We don't have anything. So it's what we do. We've got still water out there. We 10 acres of that 400-acre project out there. It's got sewer, water, everything else in it. And we put together a conservatory for the homeless. And we call it Bumville. And at that point, we put a commissary in, metal building, and we put a bathhouse in, metal building, not too expensive. And I think we can get out of there for $250,000 with those improvements. And then we put up Tent City, and all these people that are being squandered on the city streets, and they're just looking for one car to break into after another. They're all gathered up, and they're all gathered. Not we don't arrest them because that's illegal, and then we can't put them in tents because that's illegal. But what we do is we give them a nice home. We're charging them every meal, every day they're there. We got a bank account set up for them, and when they do make good, meaning as we get them into that confined area. Where they can get their feet back on the ground and get their heads together And at that point, the city police aren't concerned with them. And at that point, then we put Bumville together. And then we can have them even get involved. They can get their own bum mayor. They can get their own bum police department. They can get everything, you know, bum public works, everything. So anyway, I'm making a little bit of a joke, but I think with your thinking, I think something like this could actually clean the city streets of Reading up, put these people in a nice warm tent. Yeah, sure, it isn't going to be the Ritz-Carlton, but, I mean, come on. At least they're off the street, and they're not ripping people off. So anyway, I'll let you guys go. Great show. You guys did a great job.
All right, today. Thanks, Billy Bob.
Hey, you know, Billy Bob, I'm all for a hand up, if they want a hand up. But I'll tell you what, when we get the state of Jefferson, we're going to make the ones that don't want a hand up uncomfortable to where they'll move to California, I hope. And maybe California will name itself Bumville.
Yeah, and that's what I say a lot of times with the town halls and stuff. It's like I want to give more hand ups. I want to have more job opportunities. I want to have some better paying jobs, some you know, logging jobs, mill jobs. I want to have some jobs available where people have the option and do have. I mean, because quite frankly, folks, it's a little tough in this area to find a decent paying job. So I would like to, you know, to give more good paying jobs with the state of Jefferson, I think can do that. And quite frankly, maybe a little less social services might, you know, turn some people either into wanting to go to work or wanting to move to other environs where life's easier for them. Either way.
And with that, we've got Kay on the phone. Hi, Kay.
Hi, Nick. Compatriot from the EHS class of 69.
That's right. That's back when men were men and sheep were timid.
And education was education.
That's right.
I'm class of 86, Kay, so we have a whole reunion going on here.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
I'm just glad that you got on, Nick. You're doing a good job, and I had to go to church, and then, you know, I'm glad I got on to congratulate you.
So how was Nick in school, Kay? Do you remember Nick? Was he in the principal's office a lot?
No, but he was always talking.
Oh, shocker.
So talk radio's good for him.
Yeah, so you and Nick are class of 69, I'm class of 86, and tomorrow guest at the Patriots meeting is Roger Moore, who's class of 87. So,
right.
Yeah, small town.
Yeah, I think he's the first Reading chief of police from Enterprise.
Yeah, I can't think of another one, to be honest with you.
No, I think they're all from Shasta.
Huh.
Except for Chief Paletti.
Right. Chief Paletti was actually Lodi. He was down in Galt. I used to be good friends with Chief Paletti's cousin, believe it or not. So,
really?
Yeah, I lived down there, and it was kind of funny, because when I lived down there, he was just an officer in Stockton, and I heard we got a new chief of police named Paletti, and I'm like, well, Paletti, that's kind of an unusual
name.
Not
a common name.
Yeah, and he's from Stockton. Well, I knew a cop in Stockton. Sure enough, it was my buddy's cousin, so.
Well, I thought he did a good job. I mean, he had a lot of obstacles to overcome.
Yep.
I mean, even just the fact that he wasn't from here was an obstacle, and he seemed like he was from here after a while.
Yeah, and that's, you know, Roger Moore's been here forever. His dad,
yeah.
Lou Moore, I believe ran for sheriff in the early 80s. Used to teach classes at Shasta College. I could be wrong on that, but I think he used to work at Shasta College. I know he taught some law enforcement classes. So anyways, Roger's been around here forever. In fact, I think I might have even went to Parsons with Roger. But yeah,
I went to Parsons with Nick.
There you go. So yeah, he's got a handful, but he's been here forever and he kind of knows what to expect. So,
and by goodness, he knew what he was getting into when he took the job.
Yep.
Oh, absolutely.
So far, it looks to me like he's doing a pretty good job.
Yep.
As did Paletti.
If he can talk people out of jumping off a bridge, I think he might be able to talk us out of this problem.
Hey, I'll tell you what. Let me address that. I was at a hockey tournament in Santa Rosa, and I was reading the Santa Rosa Press, and they had a guy that wanted to jump off the bridge, and the police showed up, two or three cars, and over the intercom, they played Van Halen, Jump.
You know,
they were getting sued.
The problem with Roger Moore that he's going to have is, imagine Kay back in 69 when you're at Enterprise, and if a teacher is trying to make Nick be quiet, and the principal's office was full. I mean, what are you going to do after that? You can't send him to the principal's office. That's kind of situation.
Well, what they
Roger
would do
Moore
if
faces.
It was in social studies, they'd put him in the room that's in between the other social studies class with glass, and they could watch him.
Well, there you go. Roger Moore, we have an idea. We need to get a room with glass, and we can all sit around and watch these people since our jail's full.
We can stare at them. Yeah, you know something? There's one thing. I think Obamacare helping the poor is a big myth.
It is. It is.
I mean, I know that the middle class, it's totally made them so that all they do is pay, if they get insurance, they pay premiums, and they never hit their deductible because it's so astronomically high.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine that small business owner, and he, he had Nick's probably in the same boat, but he had a catastrophic policy. He paid, whatever it was, a couple hundred dollars a month.
Mm-hmm.
He was forced to get Obamacare. It went up to $800 or $900 a month. Now it's like $1,200 a month, and it covers absolutely nothing. Higher deductible than his older one, higher copay than his old one. But they count him as covered under Obamacare, and if you do away with it, they count him as losing Obamacare. Well, he had health care to begin with.
Right.
He was forced onto Obamacare, and he will have health care again when he's off Obamacare and there's a catastrophic policy available too. But
well,
yeah.
and a lot of these places that are supposed to be for poor people,
yeah,
like Medi-Cal people, they don't get delivered health.
Exactly.
They don't deliver health care. And if you have something wrong, they throw you around from one doctor to another doctor, and they do nothing.
Yep, you're absolutely right. Hey, Kay,
and it's a waste of money and a waste of time, and it's fraud.
25 seconds, 24
okay.
seconds.
Bye-bye.
Hey, all right, everybody. It looks like my co-host Nick and I made it through 3 hours.
And thanks so much for having me on. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
It's been great. The time has come for 51, and... Come tune in next week for Jefferson State of Mind and Sovereign Minds. Thank you.
I will not attempt to do Mark's quote that he normally closes the show with, but again, we want to thank Chris Kallstrom and Nick Gardner for guest hosting both Jefferson State of Mind and Sovereign Minds today. Stay tuned for We the People. That's coming your way next on KCNR Shasta Redding.
To the Holy City. That according to his son-in-law and senior advisor, Jared Kushner, who says that Mr. Trump is still weighing his options. There's criticism today for the Federal Bureau of Investigation on Twitter.
President Trump's Sunday morning tweets focus on a veteran FBI counterintelligence agent who was removed from special counsel Robert Mueller's team investigating.